Blog Talk Radio.
Seven live coming at you straight from my living room. I like to say Habari Ghani. I like to say Hotep. And once again, I like to greet each and every one of you to another Tuesday evening. I like to say hello to my old friends and to my new friends. And ladies and gentlemen, you have the special show that's on music, and we're also talking about the Common Core. Now, for the benefit of those of you who are just catching up with us on this topic, we have been interrupting these airwaves to talk to you about necessary issues in our community. And as you know, we have interrupted the conversation several times to talk about issues in our community that plagues our African-American community. And from time to time, we will be coming back at you with those tales of the hood or issues that we need to address. But today we're going to get back on topic, and we're going to be talking about Common Core. And I will be vacillating from Common Core to music and how it affects our children's brains. Today we're going to be talking about Common Core. And I'd like to address this topic for those teachers, the administrators, and for all of those people who work directly with our school system. And we'll be right back at you in a minute, and we'll be coming on the air, so I'd like for you to hold tight, and I'd like to go do some house cleaning and pay some bills, and I'll be right back at you.
Well, Mother is a message, got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Talking about Common Core, and we'll be talking about music and how it affects the brain throughout the month, throughout the remaining. And actually, this month is over. And for the next next Tuesday, we'll be on our new topic. And we don't have that topic to give to you right now, but this will be the last segment on the music. Now, I know the Billboard's night reads Music and Common Core, but for the next month, we'll have a new topic. So we're going to just close this one out by saying, teachers, we want you to get out there to make sure that you sign off on the letter that has been sent to you.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Just a little interruption. I wanted to indicate once again, there is a letter that has been featured by the government, and also that letter is for teachers to sign off on for Common Core standards. And there's also another letter that has been put together online that you can find on your educational online base. And that letter is to establish the fact that teachers are supporting the Common Core. And they're asking that you become advocates and that you stand behind the concept of Common Core. And they're also asking that you would also work to help align the curriculums and textbooks with the Common Core. Now, for most of you who are aware of Common Core, this is something that last time I checked, it was over 44 states who had agreed to Common Core and who had come on board. But they've allowed additional time for those states, and most states were given a letter asking them to allow for the districts to have more time to come on board with Common Core. That means that they will be aligning curriculum such as math and science, social studies, and language arts to a brand new standard. And what they've also gone as far as to do is they've actually offered staff development, professional development as well for training and in-house training for the teachers to bring them up to par. So we'll be talking more about that in a second, but right now I'd like for you to lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. And please step over to the talking to your room with me. And if you have issues and problems or things that you need resolved, now is the time to work out your solutions and resolve your problems as you go before the throne of grace. So I ask that you would step over to the talking cure with me and stand as if you were in a position for prayer. And we're going to be offering libations. And these are things that you would also do at home. And if you have loved ones that have made their transition and you would like to call their names out, please do so. We urge you to do so. And I'd like to call on, first of all, Oladulamo Ray, who is my higher self, and I'd like to call his name first, Ashe. I'd like to call on Yamanye. Yamanye is the representation of my mother's spirit, and I'd like to say Yamanye has no enemies. She is neutral. She's H2O, Ashe. I like to call on my father's spirit, who is Obatala. He is the father of all the Orishas, the man in white, and I say Ashe. I like to say that each one of these Orishas, the seven basic Orishas, all have various days that they are represented by. They have colors that they're represented by as well. Yamanye is blue and white, as well as Obatala is the man in white. And each one of them have their own specific days of the week. And Yamanye's number is number 7. And these are specific things that are unique to them, and that is why I use the number 7. The number 7 is the number of completion. And the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. And at one time in history, there was a great effort for the number 8 to be put in everything, especially during the child's birth, women would wait or hold off or try to hold off their labor to have their children on the day of number eight. And the main number eight, most eights, are in duplicates, where most numbers are looked at with 8-8. And that number eight is the number of new beginnings. However, number seven is the number of completion, and that's the number that's represented by Yam and Ye. Now, I'm not going to be teaching on that topic of African tradition. I just thought I'd give you that information. Now, for the benefit of those who would like to call out their ancestor's name, now is the time to do so. We like to call out the name of Esther Lee Pope. We like to call out Tommy P. Harvey. We like to call out Eugene Jenkins, Marvin Jenkins. We like to call out Mary Lou Hawkins, Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey. We ask that the circle be completed and that they would step in and that they would open the door and make it plain and clear for us so that we have the way open for us. And it's clear. Now, we also ask if you have any desires and you would like for your needs to be met, now is the time to make your petition known, because the throne is available and the veil has been torn for all of us to go boldly before the throne of grace. We no longer need to have offerings of calves, and we no longer need priests to go in with pomegranates to petition on our behalf. We can petition on our own behalf, and we thank Jesus, our eldest brother, for that. Because of his ultimate sacrifice, he made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can all go before the throne of grace. He was the ultimate lamb. So he was a burnt offering, so to speak, so we now can go and make our petitions known. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that our ancestors have not left us. They've always been here with us. They are nothing but a vapor in the air, and they are considered as a frequency and energy. Energy cannot die, nor can it be recreated. It only can be dissipated. So it is somewhere out there in the atmosphere that our ancestors still exist. And we are to know that. And we are to acknowledge them. And we'd be a damn fool if we forget to acknowledge who our ancestors are and to acknowledge that they still exist. And they are but a frequency away from us. All we need to do is call their names and be reminded that they're still in the atmosphere and they're still here with us. And as we call their names, we call the heroes and sheroes, as we call Sheikh S. Diop, and then we call Dr. J. Carruthers, Dr. John Henry Clark, Nina Simone with that sweet, bitter song, and Madam C.J. Walker when she walked it out and straightened it out. We call on Dr. Martin Luther King and his sweet wife, Coretta King. We call these people's names to let them know that we have not forgotten about them and they are yet in the atmosphere and we know that they are there. All we need to do is call them and they would be but a vapor away. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are ancestors, acknowledgers, and we are not worshiping ancestors. We are communing with our ancestors, reminding ourselves of the time when they were part of the family, and we've called them back to the family. And it's very vital that you know this. It's very vital that you know this, because as often as you call their names, you reunite the circle back together, and you bring the family back together, and we become whole. And need be, if you have to go out to the graveyard to fetch somebody from the graveyard in order to make the circle complete, then if that is necessary, then if need be, you have to do that, because we have to remember all of those strong loved ones who had strong personalities and who were very, very favored and could get the ear of the king. We need those people's voices and we need their commitment back in the circle. So it's important that we call them back into place as we go on with the family. And ladies and gentlemen, I like to say this. We're talking about Common Core, and what does Common Core mean for teachers, and what do we have to do to make this thing right? Common Core means that this is a new curriculum, and we have a new way of doing things, meaning that every child will be able to read at a certain level. This is what they're saying. Now, somehow they must think that all the children were were brought in at the same level. There are a lot of children that need remediation, and they might not ever read at the same level or the same textbooks or literature. And that's unfortunate because the children come to us with so many different deficits. Now, we can create a curriculum that works against the child's deficit, which we have been doing. And I like to say that Common Core Standard is really an effort to beef up the curriculum. What I like to say is that the existing curriculum was not being fully used, and it seems as if we change curriculum so frequently. And just to change the curriculum does not mean that you're going to have the child work at that level. It just means that you have better standards. That means that you're going to have to find ways to motivate the children who will want to do better and meet the level of the criteria. And there's going to have to be a lot of assessments done, a lot of assessments and frequent informal assessments and formal assessments. And we're going to have to look at some non-traditional ways of introducing the literature and curriculum to the child. African-American children do not fare well with a lot of traditional methodologies. We have to begin to look at things that have not been necessarily researched that are non-traditional. And we have to be able to be given the right to use those things in the classroom because a lot of African-American materials have not been researched and it has not been put in textbooks. It has not been put in textbooks where all the research has been done because there has not been funds. There has not been funds to go behind those curriculums, and there has not been the types of grants that most African-American researchers or investigators have had in the past. So therefore, there's a lot of untested material out there that would do just fine in the black communities and in the black school districts, but they have to be given a chance to be utilized, and they cannot be so scrutinized that they just talk the opportunity away of using it. And we are so set on going with all of these research-based materials that I am just blue in the face, and we get those research-based materials, and the child doesn't fare any better on the assessment test. So I like to say that one thing we are going to have to look at is African-American, you are going to have to be able to go in these school districts as curriculum specialists. And even if you are not working in the capacity of a curriculum and instruction person, if your degree is in that area, you're going to have to start doing some independent research on your own. You're going to have to start coming up with some of your own curriculum and lesson plans. And the reason why I say that, I include myself too, because I have dabbled into curriculum specifically for our African-American males, which I've been working on, and basically have been sampling it and doing practicum with young men to see how well it worked with them. But it's very important that we stop just going in the classroom, just wanting to be a teacher and not a diagnostician and not a researcher and not an explorer. We don't want to find any new solutions to our own problems. Now, I'm tired of every other race finding a solution to the black school children's problem, but us. As black teachers, we should know our children better than anyone else, and we should be the answer and the solution to the problem because we can assess those children and find out what is wrong and write an antidote so we can help them. Now, there was an actual researcher by the name of Ames. She took an interest in black children. She went over to Africa, and she began to research the toddlers and researching them to find out about their developmental stages. She was so ecstatic about what she found. She began to write about her research, and she began to document what she found. And you would be amazed what she found about the black children who were not engaged in tutelage or in school, who were faring and developing so rapidly in their language development as well as in their ability to be agile and be able to be mobile. Now, one of the things that I have taken a great interest in is movement and music. Movement has to go with music. You just simply cannot begin to teach a child music without movement to go with it. Rhythm has to go with the movement. So what we found in most of our African-American schools is that our children always equate rhythm to music, and they will take those dancing bands and do a little skit out on the yardway because they know music has to be coupled with movement. So one of the things that the brain does so uniquely, it adjusts itself and it makes adjustments for any inadequacy. And those parts of the brain that are not working well, the part that is working well, there will be some adjustment and adaptations made so that the brain will compensate for any other inadequacy, whereas one part may not work. So it's interesting how the brain works, and it's very interesting to note that you can still function with a portion of your brain being damaged. Now, our children, African-American children, have been noted to require something different in the class. So what are we going to do with Common Core? How can we begin to implement it based on a cultural basis? I'll say that most of the districts are going to have to hire some African-American curriculum and instruction people, consultants, to come in and adapt the curriculum. We've tried the British. We've tried the Europeans. We've tried the Asians. We've also tried the Hispanics. But who has given the African-American a chance at running the school district and incorporating our own perspectives of curriculum? Now it's time to look at those things. It's really time to look at those things. And I'm going to say, because this is an era that you are giving people of color a chance to lead and guide, then maybe you should look at giving them a chance to lead and guide in these schoolhouses as well. Because some of the things we're doing does not have any backing or statistical research, and it has not been proven to be successful, even though we've got statistics and stats to show that. So if you find Marva Collins in a little one-house schoolhouse and assessing and testing children at all different levels, and the children's mastering the test and accelerating themselves, and she comes from a one-schoolhouse concept from Mississippi, and the children fare so well that every district wants to test them. Now, we should have taken a note from Marva Collins. I know there's Westside Preparatory Schools all throughout the various states, and I talked with Marva once and had an opportunity to go work for Marva, but unfortunately I went to go work for a corporate industry that was a major Fortune 500 company instead of going to work for Marva. And as I think back about it, I regret it now, because there was so much I could have learned from Marva about black children. It's funny how we as black teachers think we know black children, but only to get in the classroom to discover that we really don't know them. We've actually been wired up and trained to teach European children, not African-American children, because the curriculum and lesson plans that were given to us were strictly for white children. They were not for African-American children. I've had so many African-American children to tell me this, and they were your gifted African-American children. So I knew they knew what they were talking about. They were absolutely right. Those curriculums were not designed for them. Now, when you're in a class with a group of gifted African-American children, they're functioning on the level of adults, and they can carry a conversation, and they can make their point, give a hypothetical situation and hypothesis, and give you the data to back it as well with the scientific method. So when they are talking, it's like E.F. Hutton, you need to listen. We are so busy pushing and putting things in students that we do not listen to what they have to say. if we were to listen to what children really had to say and allow them to tell us more about what it is they need and want, we would find out we'd have better solutions for what to do in these classrooms. Now, once again, Common Core, we're going to be given so much time to come on board with Common Core in mathematics, and already this summer, there has been conferences and workshops here in Indiana to abreast the teachers with coming on board with Common Core. And with math, there are practicums that have to be learned. There are 8 areas that have to be learned in implementing the mathematics for the new Common Core standard. Now, in the social studies area, I'm just curious as to how they're going to handle the social studies area. And what new part have they added on to the history? Once African-American children refuse to learn their African history about slavery, they refuse to have that as only an aspect of their history. They decided to adopt the ancient Egyptian and Egyptology's history as their own because they wanted to see themselves in a time when they were kings and queens and they were ruling. So you find that there's a lot of trauma that goes on when you are teaching history to African-American children. They become traumatized by the slavery, and they will physically drop out from the program as well. And the reason why I know this is because I have taught history and was brought in to work directly with children who refused to learn their own African-American history because it was so painful for them to look at the history of slavery. So my question is, when we introduce Common Core, how are we going to introduce it to the African-American? And what are we going to do to make a difference when we bring that lesson plan? Teachers, you are going to have to be really equipped to stand in the boardrooms and in the professional development halls and talk about implementing curriculum of Common Core standards to African-American children who have a variety of remediation issues. There are so many issues that need to be addressed. And in the language area, there are so many issues that need to be addressed as what is common and what is standard and what are we going to allow for the children to utilize in order to be able to meet the criteria and running reading literature. One of the things I found is that our district was well prepared for the language arts and all the literature and making sure that they cover all the literature. They were so well equipped in that area that it was so much curriculum you couldn't get through all of it in a four block hour or in a week's time. So when you have that much information, you change your curriculum to a two subject block, only teaching two subjects a day and not trying to cram all 6 disciplines in like most teachers try to do. And you know what happens when you try to teach 5 subjects, none of them get taught well. But when you're doing the block scheduling like some school districts do, you'll find that there is plenty enough time to get through that subject in a matter of possibly a three or four hour block. It's very important that we should understand that even though we're adopting the Common Core standards, there needs to be new methodology for introducing it. And I know that there's a lot of us that are realigning our textbooks and getting everything ready, but you have to have everybody on board. You just can't say, well, we're all on board and we adapted these books. That's the problem now. African Americans are never included in any of the adaptations of the material. Even the scholars And the PhD and professors are never asked, what do you think, Dr. So-and-so? Well, what do you think, Dr. PhD, player hater? Well, how do you think we should implement this for your community, your African-American children, Dr. What's-a-Majigget? We are never asked. We are assumed that they know best for our children. And we sit there with all of our scholars, all scholared up, and we don't have an opinion. Well, I'll give you an opinion, and you should always have an opinion about your own African-American children, because these are the children that you helped to raise in the community. They're supposed to be your children and come from your community. But when you act like you are distant from your own African-American children, as if you don't know them well, and they become something like an outcast to you, you never want to get to the point when you don't have an opinion about your own race of people, because you live with children like these in your own home. So when you go to these conference meetings and staffing meetings, you go there to make sure that you're on the team to help strategize so you can best implement curriculum in a district where there's predominantly black children. And children know when you don't know what you're doing. You go in and you assess them over information that you haven't even introduced to them. There's so much assessment going on that the child is just assessed out. Why not do the informal? Create your own test and see for yourself what the child doesn't know. Then go to the formal material. You know, we are just running a race in these classes. Oh, this week we got to give Stanford Binet test. Oh, next week we got to give the Iowa test. And then you're going on and on and on, and you're testing. But when do you strategize? When do you sit down and strategize and figure out what are the things you have to do differently? I'll tell you what, you got to stop lecturing in class. Children do not want to be lectured to. Do cooperative learning. Break them up in groups and let them work together as a hybrid group and let them present back to the class and let them teach each other and teach you too. And you get out the way, teacher. Just get out the way and go in the back of the classroom and watch how they will begin to weave a net and begin to start to teach themselves after you've introduced the subject, of course. But at the same time, integrate your high technology in the classroom. Pull the streamers in. Bring in information and material. That's what your job is, to provide the environment, making sure they have all of the technology they need to make that project work. You don't necessarily have to be up front dictating to them in an unbiased way, giving your opinion about everything. You let each one of them to decide what their topic is and their opinion about that topic they're presenting. We're going to have to change school. We can no longer keep these children in school all day long. You've got to create some practicums for them where they have real-life practicums where they're on the job working and they're producing and providing a product and they are actually getting paid for at least a stipend. But we have got to change the way school is functioning now. I don't care how many Common Core we get. We've got to change this whole method. And let me say something. White people, Caucasian people, you do not have a monopoly on educating our black children. I want to say that again. You do not have a monopoly on educating our black children. Always stop to ask the senior or the elder in your group, what do they think? Never cease to carry on a conference where you ignore all African-American people and you put down the law and lay down the law and you act as if it's gospel. Black people, you cannot go to these conferences anymore without standing up, giving your opinion, or at least infusing the conversation with what if a black child had ability to be a scholar. Would that be unusual for you? Will you still know how to teach that child? That's the other problem. Most African children who are scholars and gifted in the classroom, they're ignored as if they have a deficit. and they're not taught either, and they go along teaching themselves. Why not act as if that young child is a fellow in the class and start a whole group of children that are fellow children? Don't call them gifted. Call them fellows. Give them a stipend and pay them a little money to help you teach the whole class. That's what they are driven by, Filthy Lucca. And when you pay them a little stipend, that will motivate them to become scholars. That's how you begin more scholars. And as those children help you, you begin to learn from the children that are teaching. Teachers, we don't know it all. And really, we don't begin to learn until the child starts showing us ourselves, because it's really the child that has all of the information already geared up in them. We just got to push the right buttons to pull it out. But I will say this much. Common Core is coming, and it's here. And whether we want to embrace it or not, it's here. But I will say to all you African-American teachers, you're going to have to get involved as consultants or as contractors or as advocates, but definitely as teachers. So why is it so hard for an African-American teacher to become a consultant or even a contractor? And why do when we go into our school districts to help them as black people, they do not want to see you as a professional? They want to undermine you and undercut you. Well, they're going to have to start doing a better job, because you're going to lose all your seasoned teachers, and you're going to have to contract out for the seasoned teachers to come in to help contract and bring in the techniques for using Common Core so you can align the Common Core with the standards. Now, when you're doing all this, this is a lot of technical work, a lot. And most of the teachers are lazy. They do not want a whole bunch of technical work. They want to bring the lesson plan in and teach it as usual. But it's not business as usual anymore, teachers. I hate to tell you this. Business as usual has gone out the window. There's been too much money spent on Common Core. You will teach Common Core or you will be absent from the payroll, because when your district decides to implement Common Core, they're going to expect you to get up to par and be able to implement it in all your disciplines. Now, that's why this year is very crucial. I find that my services are going to really be needed this year throughout the diaspora, and using my curriculum background as well as my integrating of the Common Core standards. Now, I'm working to better train myself, because I'm not where I should be. I'm just coming on board as well. I'm working to develop enough staff development material that I can go into these districts and show them best practices and how to implement the Common Core standards across the curriculum. And I am going to be looking at English language learner very heavily, because there must be testing done at every level to show what level that child is at in reading. Most children that are coming into the district, no one could tell you, if they wanted to, where that child has been assessed at and what level the child is at. That is the most important thing that has to be done, that hasn't been done, is assessment of a reading running record of what level that child is at. Now, when you look at Europe, over in the European countries, they are very much on top of the Cambridge technique and the assessment of the reading level. So I'll say this much to you teachers, and that is, if you haven't heard about Common Core and you haven't read up anything on it, sign up for a workshop. Sign up for a conference. Sign up for a retreat. Sign up for something and learn something about what is going to be mandated in your classroom, because if you don't, you could find yourself going in Monday morning and everything being foreign to you and a whole group of new consultants and contractors be right in your conference room doing a staff development, and you will be thinking they're talking Greek. It might be Greek to you if you have not abased yourself with the knowledge of Common Core. But I've been talking about this enough on the airways for you to have already gone out to explore it, to To explore it means to not just briefly read about it, but read in depth to get a better understanding. And sign up for some of these advocacy programs. And sign up to put your name on the letters where all the teachers are coming together to support Common Core. It's very important that you not only just be a teacher, but be an advocate, too, when it comes to topics that need to be addressed. And because Common Core needed to be addressed, I thought I would bring it as a topic for this month. And ladies and gentlemen, I will be coming back to you periodically to talk about Common Core standards. This is not the end of it. We will not bury it. And this is not the funeral of Common Core standards. This is only the beginning of Common Core standards. So I say teachers, both preschool, primary, middle school, high school, welcome aboard to Common Core. Welcome aboard, because this will be the year when we will work our hardest to implement Common Core standards across the diaspora for the benefit of those children who still want to be a part of the education system. Now, that's the other thing we're going to have to comply with, the low attrition of children dropping out of school, changing districts, leaving the public school system altogether, going to the choice voucher system. Now, if we have to compete with that, we still want to support our public schools because they will be with us, and they will always be with us until we keep giving our children over to the choice and the voucher system. There's nothing wrong with the choice system. It is available to parents who paid their taxes and earned that right to take their money to put their children in a choice private school. But we definitely, as private school teachers, want to explain to the parents that those kids who are doing well in public school, those children are paid their taxes through the tax dollars. So we definitely want to support public schools as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say thank you so very much for going on this mission with us as we talk about Common Core standards. And I want you to know that this is not the end of them. I will be bringing you more topics about Common Core. Our guest tonight, Mrs. Maddie Harvey, would not be here with us. And hopefully we will get her back on board here again. And we'll put her on the billboard again. So we'd like to bid you a good evening and a good night and say stay tuned. We'll talk to you later. What?